This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
Let's welcome to the program now Dr. Susan Lipkins, a New York psychologist for over 20 years. She specializes in campus conflict and violence in our high schools and colleges. She's appeared all over over television. I'm sure you're familiar with her. Her book is Preventing Hazing, How Parents, Teachers, and Coaches Can Stop the Violence, Harassment, and Humiliation. And she's at work now on her second book, A Victim's Survival Guide. Susan, thank you so much for joining us on short notice. We appreciate your time.
Thanks for having me.
What are your thoughts as somebody who really, this is your specialty? I mean, this is your bailiwick. You work in this field, this where to us, it's just shock and horror and just a multitude of emotions that just overwhelm us. You are a specialist who work in that field and have a sort of a different understanding of it all. What have been your thoughts over the last 24 hours?
Well, I would say that I'm still shocked, even though I do read about it all the time or interview people. I'm very sad, and I'm not surprised. And I think maybe that's the one place where I'm different from everyone else. I'm not surprised when this kind of violence occurs.
Because?
Because the amount of pressure that young people have today and the lack of connectedness that many people feel increases the likelihood of people being isolated. And then we have a tremendous amount of psychiatric problems, many of which are not taken care of. So I just see the numbers growing and growing, and the system is broken. You know, we really don't have a good system to deal with all the psychological problems that everybody experiences. I mean, 50% of the country will at some time be depressed, anxious. 70% of the people throughout America will have problems sleeping. And those are regular, you know, everyday variety people, you and me. And then we have a special subset of people who have serious psychiatric disorders, and those are the ones, like this young man, who need to be given special attention. And unfortunately, many of the signs are often overlooked, and that's the part where I get sad and not surprised.
Dr. Susan Lipkins is our guest. If you've got a question for her, the phone lines are open at 977-1070. We are hearing now news reports that there were, in fact, some warning signs from this kid that, you know, I guess it's when this kind of things happen, people look back and they think, oh, well, yeah, he did do that. And I never really put two and two together. But I guess when it gets right down to it, we don't assume the worst of somebody. We're inclined to assume the best. Like, well, maybe he's just having a bad day.
No, I don't think so. I think that, you know, there are indications that there were students in his English class that were afraid that he would be a school shooter, they say, even before they heard the play that he wrote. And after that, for sure, everybody would be afraid of who this young man was. So I think that what happens is, it's not that we don't notice them. We do notice them, and we might even mention it to a friend, but we want to deny it. We're afraid to admit it, and we're also a nation that wants to keep the code of silence. We don't want to stand up, take responsibility for someone who might be in pain, and say, you know what, we need to get that person, you know, to the next step, to the supervisor, to the, you know, authority figures, to the mental health person. You know, we need to take care of that person for themselves as well as to protect ourselves. You know, we need to, you know, there's a saying in New York, see it, say it, and that's post 9/11, and that's what we all have to do all the time. When we see something suspicious, we have to say it, and we have to connect that person to whatever authority is in charge.
So this is beyond fighting terrorism. This is just keeping an eye out for one another.
Right, for yourself. You know, if you don't protect everybody else, in one day the life that you might be saving would be your own.
Susan, tell us, give us an idea of what's happening now, because I know you have worked with families like this in these situations. What's going on right now with the families who are closest to the tragedy, and what do we need to keep in mind about folks like us, who most of us who are just watching it on television?
Okay, the people who are on the unfortunate victims, there are like two victims, the actual people who were hurt and then all their families and friends who were traumatized by this event, and they are probably still in shock. I would imagine that the whole week they would still be in shock. And the symptoms of shock are panic, anxiety, difficulty sleeping, maybe not being able to eat, feeling, you know, disoriented, not being able to concentrate. And that is probably what a lot of people in that neighborhood and on that campus are feeling at the moment. Those symptoms will dissipate as time goes on. We all have a hard time wrapping our head around this, you know, and understanding it and digesting it. I think as we watch the media, we, you know, little bits of information come in and it starts to make sense and the puzzle gets put together. I think it's great that the media focuses its attention and that we have to look and see and say to America, what are our values and, you know, what are we really doing, you know, to one another? On the other hand, when we see the vision, you know, the same images over and over and over, we become desensitized and it becomes like, you know, normal everyday stuff for us as well. So I think that students across the country and their parents, anybody in college is probably, they're on a heightened alert as they should be. The colleges should be, you know, more aware and thinking about their own security systems, what kind of crisis intervention they have, what kind of prevention they have, and maybe this will wake us all up to say to one another, hey, that's a person who's really isolated. Maybe I should just smile at them, say hello, you know, or recognize them, or tell the, you know, RA, the residential advisor, I'm really worried about that person. And then it's the responsibility of the RA to go to the next person, to the next person, and hopefully get those people who are fringe and lonely connected.
Dr. Susan Lipkins is my guest. Her book is Preventing Hazing. She's also at work on a new book, The Victim's Survival Guide. Susan, we spoke earlier today, and you were telling me how we really need to keep in mind the vulnerable among us, the folks who everybody's going to take this tragedy in a different way and deal with it on their own terms. But there are some folks that are already experiencing despair in their lives, whether they have mental illness or not, and
right.
They're already at the edge.
Right. You know, when we ask about which of the students on that campus are most likely to suffer post-traumatic stress disorder, it's those kids who already have a history of some kind of psychological problem. So any student who's currently taking medicine for anxiety or depression should connect back to the person who prescribed it and to their therapist and to their family and check in. On top of that are lots and lots of kids who are not medicated but who are still suffering those kinds of symptoms, and they should seek the help, which I think is available on campus. You know, when you have that kind of background, you're more likely to be affected. And then there's one more group, and those are people who have already been traumatized by some major event, like 9/11. Those people are, again, likely to be more traumatized, and it could reopen the wound that may have been closed already.
Dr. Susan Lipkins is my guest. If you've got a question or a comment, the phone number is 977-1070. Andy is on the line. Andy, thanks for the call. You're on with Dr. Lipkins. Go right ahead.
Corey, let me just say first, I turned my radio down in my car going home. Let me just say I certainly can, I felt in my gut how you were feeling an hour or so ago when I was listening to you, as far as sometimes we think we're not traumatized or not sensitive to the way some things happen, like this tragedy yesterday. I could certainly see that you were very sensitive and emotional in your speech. After saying that, let me just make one more comment, then I'll have my question. I have a son in college, too, and I must say, boy, I did shed some tears on the highway just thinking what the parents of these deceased youngsters must be going through. And doctor, here's my question, and you may not even have the answer to it, but my question is, I was thinking yesterday as I heard about this on my way home, I wonder how the university contacted the parents of these deceased students. And I was really, I guess, shocked, and that's not a good word. I was hoping it wasn't by the telephone. Now I'll just be quiet and listen to your response.
Andy, thank you so much for the call, and appreciate you joining the conversation. Susan, go ahead. I thought it was my understanding that the state police was actually involved in some of the contacts that were made.
You know, I don't know the answer as to how they were contacted. What I do know is that every school and college should have a crisis intervention plan, and there should be, you know, an order of who gets told, how they get told, what services are provided to them, you know, and to do it in a psychologically sound way. And I don't really know if this school was properly prepared. I hope that the other schools are using this as a warning signal that they need to have a prevention plan and a crisis intervention plan ready to go.
What would be the ideal situation where a family was visited in person, I guess, the way the armed services does it?
Well, I'm not sure. I think if I was a parent and I'd be calling saying, what's with my son or daughter? Where are they? Do you know anything? I'd want to know immediately, you know, what information they had. I might not want to be told over the phone, but I certainly would like to know as soon as possible. And I wouldn't want to wait, you know, especially people in different states. You don't really want to wait for somebody to fly or drive up, to New York
that's
12
true.
Hours later to tell, you know, especially if there's a chance that the person still might be alive or you want to, you know, get to them as quickly as possible. I think as a parent of college student as I am, you know, you want to get there as soon as possible, and you're really not as concerned about how it's told as much as
just,
you know,
getting the word,
getting connected and feeling overwhelmed. And, you know, I mean, I think it's so scary because it does touch all of us. So many of us have been college students and have been parents of college students or of students who eventually will be in college. So it's like, you know, we could all identify with every person in this. And it's scary that it does happen, that it's not an isolated incident, that it can happen, and that we have to learn how not to be victims and how to take care of those kids who are mentally unstable.
Dr. Susan Lipkins is my guest. The phone number, the line is, we've got a line open at 977-1070 if you've got a question. I found myself last night, and I'm sure there's a lot of people out there like me, I actually had to turn it off. I had to finally just turn it off. I wasn't ready to go to bed, but I had to turn off the news and just sit quietly for a while. I couldn't take any more of it.
Yeah, you're right. As a matter of fact, even though I want everybody to watch things and learn from them, the truth is you shouldn't be watching this kind of stuff before you go to sleep. It is difficult and it will disturb your sleep. And we all need to rest because it's the only way that you can recharge your battery.
Right. Any other things that we should be keeping in mind as the days unfold and as more and more of the facts and the intricacies of exactly what happened yesterday start to come out, and, you know, we start to hear people debating, they'll debate immigration, they'll debate gun control, the politics will get into this. We'll sort of see this story devolve and evolve over the next few days.
Well, yeah, I'd like to throw my own little spin in on, how's that? I'd like to challenge all the universities to look at their budgets and look at what is the thing they're spending a lot on, like athletics, and then compare it to how much they're spending on their psychological support systems. And consider if half of the school, usually 50% of the kids, are having some kind of emotional distress, are they spending enough money to support those kids and to find these kinds of kids and connect them appropriately? That's my challenge.
Dr. Susan Lipkins, a New York psychologist for over 20 years. She specializes in campus conflict and violence in our high schools and colleges. Her book is Preventing Hazing, and she's at work on a new book now, The Victim Survival Guide. Susan, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks very much.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit SeavillePodcast.com for more.